Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
105.7 FM, the Fan. Good morning, everybody. Sam Schmitz here. Horvat, back in parts unknown. He'll be back next week. I feel like I've done 2 shows with Horvat since Memorial Day. I don't know where he's been. Also, I'm pulling the old Friday takeoff routine, which I've accused others of doing. But there's no sports. I've got all my days where, when there's sports, I'll be there. You know, just like to sleep in on Fridays. Oh, actually, I can't. My kid gets up at 4:30. Hey, did you hear I have a kid? The Bradley Beal news is interesting. Because first of all, I don't know why the Wizards are even in this situation. So the NBA, they're restarting 22 teams. I really think they should have probably gone to just the playoff teams. But okay, give Zion a chance to get in the playoffs. And also, you know, you need some games before the playoffs start. You don't want the playoffs in the first round to look terrible. What if the Bucks don't have their legs under them and the Magic beat them? That would suck. You'd say, oh, I wish they had some time to prepare. And then, you prepare against some of the teams that you might see in the playoffs, but you've also got some other opponents to do that against. The scrimmages the Bucks have, I think, are against the Kings, Spurs, and Pelicans, so teams they likely won't face, but it's good to get out there and scrimmage and play somebody else. But so what they've done is they take 9 teams out of the East and 13 teams in the West, teams that they think have a realistic shot of still making the playoffs, and you have to be... The 9 seed has to be within 3.5 games of the 8 seed for them to then have a playoff game to the playoffs. But if you look at the East, there's 6 teams that are already in the playoffs. And then the others, the Nets are the 7 seed at 30 and 34. The Magic are 30 and 35. And then the Wizards, they got invited to this thing at 24 and 40. Meanwhile, the Hornets are 23 and 42. They're like a game behind and they're sitting at home. So the Wizards, they're not going to have Bradley Beal because he's hurt. So without Bradley Beal, they've got nothing. The Nets, I don't know who's going to show up for the Nets. So the Magic are probably going to be the 8 seed, but they're going to play these games out. And it just, the whole thing seems weird. In the Western Conference, you've got 6 teams that have clinched already. The Mavericks will probably get in at 7. And then it's a fight between the Grizzlies, Trailblazers, Pelicans, Kings, Spurs, and Suns. Although the Suns are 26 and 39. And if you look at the statistics and the odds, they've got like a 0.02% chance to make the playoffs. So what's even the point? I don't know. It's hard as these teams are trying to do this. It's hard to like be overly critical because this is an impossible situation that they're in. But then when you see some of these players drop, that's why I'm telling you, I'm so interested in this Major League Soccer tournament that starts tonight because they're also at Disney. So you're watching, maybe you're not, but there's soccer games going on throughout the world because in these other countries, they can play these games. Still no fans, of course, but they're playing in Germany, they're playing in Italy, they're playing in England, and now we're going to try to play in America. But in America, we're not going to play at our home stadiums. We're going to go to the bubble and go to Disney. Well, I don't think that Major League Soccer is prepared well enough compared with the NBA. It doesn't seem like they have the same protocols. I mean, the NBA put out a 115-page guideline where everything, I give them credit for how much effort they put into this. MLS just seems to be like, go play and see what happens. A team dropped out already. Imagine if the Nets dropped out of the NBA playoffs. I think it would be a much bigger deal. A team dropped out of the MLS tournament, and then there's supposed to be two games tonight. As of right now, there's still a game tonight. I'll just be shocked if it did get played. Supposed to be two games tonight, and the second game got moved because there's another team that's got a bunch of positive cases. But they are going to make sure this thing happens. So it is interesting because they're kind of like the guinea pigs here in terms of team sports. You've got soccer tonight, which will be the second league with team sports coming back. The Women's Soccer League has started, and they've been playing for a couple of weeks. They're doing a bubble situation in Utah. But what's interesting about Major League Soccer is they're playing at the very same facility, they're playing at Disney, and so is the NBA. But the guidelines are completely different. A team dropped out. I just think that would be wild if that happened in one of these other leagues, and it's very much a possibility. What we do know with the Bucks is they shut down their practice facility on Sunday. Somebody with the organization, we don't know who, but somebody had tested positive. Coach Budenholzer talking yesterday. They're not too surprised by it. They got to give this person support and then go on from there.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the first emotion is you want to be, you know, thoughtful and caring for whoever it is that's in that situation and, you know, try and give them support. And, you know, I think some of it's just emotional and that we will help in any way we can. This is probably something that was going to happen at some point to somebody in our small group. And, you know, we want to be there for that person. And we also want to, you know, communicate with the rest of the staff at a high level and be thoughtful and caring. And how can we just really keep everybody as healthy as possible and just, you know, deal with this in a caring way for that particular person and then for the group as a whole and just be there for them. And, but again, trying to stay upbeat, trying to keep, you know, the whole group positive, keep anybody positive. And, you know, it's part of what not just we're dealing with, but the whole country, the whole world's dealing with.
He didn't give any clues there. I haven't seen at all who tested positive. I haven't even heard, like, friend of a friend of a friend. I don't know. They've kept that very tight. I don't know if it's a player. I don't even know if it's a guy. He didn't even say he or she. So Budenholzer doing very well to not give any clues. But they did close the practice facility on Sunday. It was a little jarring because, you know, you wonder, is this going to work? Teams are traveling to Orlando, and Adam Silver, his biggest fear is that the virus gets in and they've got to make some adjustments. He says, don't be surprised if you start to hear more positive cases once guys do come to Orlando. But we've got to quarantine them. You know, the season doesn't start until the 30th, and they're going to Orlando now. That's probably good. The best way for these quarantines is quarantine first, then go to the bubble. But at least they're going to go down there, hopefully get all the positive tests out of there. Like with this basketball tournament, I think they've done a pretty good job so far. That's going on in Ohio. Marquette with the win the other night. Some more games today and tomorrow, I believe, during the day. So Marquette advances. But what they've done is the positive tests have gone down, almost to zero now. There was one team that they had to kick back out. But as long as they stay in that bubble, they should be fine. One thing I didn't mention about Marquette's win the other night, if they would have lost that game, they would have had to leave immediately. It's like Big Brother, where on eviction night, you pack all your suitcases and your bags, and if you're out, you're out. You got your bag or pack, and you got to go. They showed a picture of all the team's luggages, and luggage, I think, is the proper plural, but if they would have lost, and so the team they beat, Team CP3, they lose, they got to pick up their bag, and they go home. I just thought it was a funny juxtaposition there with, you know, the world that we're in now and how very reality show-like it was. But back to the Bucks. Yeah, closing that facility on Sunday, Bud says that was in our best interest.
You know, shutting the facility down, it's just the wise thing to do is we prepare to head to Orlando. And, you know, I think it's important that we get there as healthy and clean as possible. And by doing this for these few days prior to leaving, you know, feel like it's going to give us our best chance to get to Orlando in a good place. And
so what happens now? Because they practiced over the weekend. They're leaving to Orlando tomorrow. This is like a whole week where they don't get to play. They got there. They were playing. They were being with each other and trying to get back into basketball shape. Bud's not too worried. He says a day like today, they'll still do the same kind of workouts that they're accustomed to.
The guys will, you know, work from home, you know, continue to kind of maintain, you know, a workout schedule, you know, mostly on their bodies and their conditioning, their strength, you know, something probably similar to what they were doing very early in this process. So I think, you know, between the weight staff and the players, there's a, you know, a rhythm to it. And we'll get through, you know, this period and head to Orlando on Thursday.
Again, when we talk about what the season's going to look like and why there's 22 teams instead of just starting with the playoffs, you do wonder what these first couple of games are going to look like in baseball and basketball. In baseball, a guy like Keston Hira, Christian Yelich, Ryan Braun, from now until when the season starts, may only get 20 pure at-bats in game situations. And that's like in simulated game situations. You're not going to get a lot of time before the season starts. The first couple of weeks of the season, you can see some really bad play. With basketball, at least there's going to be the 8 regular season games, and the Bucks don't really need the regular season games. They will be the one seed unless they lose all of their games, which seems impossible. They've only lost 12 out of 65 so far, even with the break. They're good enough not to. But Budenholzer, you know, he's comfortable. He says these guys are in a good spot right now if we had to play basketball this week.
Yeah, I think, you know, given the circumstances, I think, you know, the really positive assessment, really positive feedback from the assistant coaches who, you know, like always, are the ones mostly on the court with them and working with them, observing them. You know, I got to a little bit late. But I think overall, really from the beginning of this hiatus, you know, including through today, a lot of positive on just where our players are with skill development, with their shooting, with their bodies, their health. You know, it's hard to until you get to play and put in, you know, team situations and add more people to the mix. But I think given what we've done, a ton of positive and a real good feeling about where the guys are.
These guys, the last few months, they've been just like us in terms of we want basketball, they want basketball. I mean, we're supposed to have basketball. The finals should have happened already. The parade down Wisconsin Avenue should have happened already. The Bucks should be NBA champs already. But we'll just have to wait a few more months before we're rightfully crowned the NBA champions. They are with us in the fact that they miss it. We miss it. We all miss basketball.
I think we miss it a ton. You know, it's interesting. It's what I guess most or all of us have done for our whole lives. And so when you don't have that opportunity to play 5-on-5 and, you know, watch guys play together and, you know, work together, both defensively, you know, offensively, all that good stuff that, you know, you miss it when you don't have it. So I think we're all looking forward to, you know, getting into a more traditional environment with 5-on-5 and scrimmaging and playing and, you know, doing that. And I'm sure the players aren't looking forward to some of the drills that are also part of that, you know, evolution. And so I think that was your first question. You know, the first 3 weeks, you know, I think we'll do a lot to, you know, I think get ourselves prepared for 5-on-5 and that environment and competing and playing. And, you know, but I think, you know, most pros, they embrace that, you know, the opportunity to get in a team setting, work with each other, you know, just get sharper, get more focused on all the fundamentals that we do and work and preach. And so the whole process, I think we're all looking forward to.
The Bucks will have that 5-on-5 opportunity in a couple of weeks. The season doesn't start for them until the 31st, but 2 weeks from tomorrow, they will be scrimmaging the San Antonio Spurs. Now, I don't know if that's going to be on TV in any way, shape, or form. I don't know what we're going to get there. but they're scrimmaging the Spurs. The Kings then that weekend, the Pelicans the night of the 27th, and then they'll start the basketball season, the final eight games at least, against the Celtics on the 31st, where they're already a 5.5-point favorite. Every game is like a 1-point spread, but the Bucks over the Celtics, 5.5. Right? When no one knows what's going on, neutral court, COVID-19, Disney, nobody's got any idea. But the Bucks are that good. They're a 5.5-point favorite. So we are expecting basketball, and we're expecting it in a couple of weeks. Bucks set out to travel tomorrow. One of the things that we're doing on the show to get ready for that part of the season is recap how they've got to 53-12. And the Bucks midseason were treated to a little trip overseas. And Giannis certainly lived up to the billing as the Bucks go to Paris. A recap on that, and we'll continue to look forward at what the NBA product will have to offer in the month of July, August, and beyond when we come back. Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz, 414-799-1250. Talking Bucks, 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM. The
Giannis, how about that? What an unbelievable play.
The countdown to the Bucks' return back to the championship.
So how is the French coming?
I'm getting it. You know, je m'appelle Jean, comment tu t'appelles? Oui, 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 comme ci, comme ça, ou la la. I got all of that.
Hey, it's more than most of us know. Je m'appelle Bart Winkler, and we continue the Bucks recap. On the 24th of January, the Bucks played in the night, although we watched the game in the day. It was in Paris, first ever regular season game in Paris. Giannis, obviously from Europe with his Greek culture and his Greek background. 30 points, 16 boards, 6 assists. It was him putting on a show that night. And in Europe, you might as well do a Euro step.
Giannis goes to the left hand, back to the double hammer in the hammer.
Brings it back up at the very last moment.
Bucks win 116-103. They improve to 40-6 on the season. Marvin Williams, by the way, 18 points for the Hornets in this game, 6 boards. Now, of course, a Milwaukee Buck. 116-103, Bucks get the victory and put their stamp, as they have been with Giannis, on Europe.
How big is the NBA out here?
It's big. It's really big, and people don't realize how big is it. And, a lot of people in Europe love basketball. They don't have the chance to watch basketball. Not a basketball game, an NBA game. And not just the NBA bringing us out here and giving us the opportunity to showcase our talent in front of them. That's a good feeling for us and a good feeling for them, for sure.
40 wins for the Bucks at that point in the season. That was a weird week in terms of watching basketball because he had 2 day games. He had the day game on Martin Luther King Day in the afternoon, and then the Bucks played in Paris, so obviously with the time change, they're not going to play a night game here. 7 o'clock here is 3 o'clock in the morning there. You know, it's part of the reason. First regular season game in Paris. The Bulls went overseas. We all saw that in The Last Dance, but that was an exhibition game, of course, against some of their all-stars over there. So the Bucks and the Hornets. Hornets gave up that home game, and the Bucks got the victory. I do wonder, when things come back, the NBA, what those first 8 games are going to look like for the Bucks. We go through all of this, all these games that we're bringing you in this Bucks recap, and they are just trouncing teams. Even games that look close, the game we talked about yesterday. Yeah, the Bucks led the Bulls by 1 at halftime, and you know, if you had the spread in that game, because the spread for a lot of these games ended up being 10, 11 points, and the Bucks always found a way to win by like 12 or 13 points. So if you bet the Bucks in the spread, you made a lot of money this year. But when these 8 games come back, Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz, what are you expecting? Like, because the Bucks, they haven't been load managementing, but they sort of have. Giannis is playing. He's just playing like 27 minutes a game instead of 37. I think they'll play. I mean, you got to get your legs under you, but also there's really no point for the Bucks to play these guys.
Right. I mean, even if, you know, these games mean nothing for them.
Nothing.
So
even if they get the number one seed, who cares?
Right. So I think Budenholzer, even if they're going to lose, I think he values the players' health more so than these final 8 games. So I'm expecting a ton of rest for like Giannis and Middleton. I wouldn't be surprised.
But then I wonder, well, what if they don't play enough? Are they going to be sharp? Because then if you look at the first, when is the Bucks' first meaningful game going to be? It's not going to be one of those eight games. And then with the way that the teams are dropping out, the Nets, the Wizards, at least players on those teams, Magic will probably get the seven seed, so the Nets are your eight seed. That's not going to be any issue. You're going to beat that team. I don't even know who's going to play on that team.
Probably not until the second round. So, I don't think you're going to see them like start ramping it up until then.
So then with not, can you just, it's almost like you have to turn on a switch again. You know, and people have always wondered, can you turn on a switch? And I've argued that the Bucks are a team that can do that. Last year, I know there, and even 2 years ago, there were some games where you were worried about the Bucks in the regular season. And I said, yeah, just let them get to the playoffs and they'll be fine. Now, I think they were fine. They didn't win the East, but I still thought they were able to perform at a high level, and I think I was justified in that, but again, to each their own. I think this year is just going to be so interesting, and I do think we got to start preparing for things that we're not ready to prepare for. With the MLB, Bill asked me yesterday, Bill Michaels, I stopped by his show yesterday around 10:30, and if you missed it, guys, Fan on Demand. But he said, you know, who do you think the Brewers are going to be good? Do you think... I don't know if we can know that, because there could be, again, just to reference MLS, there's already a game that got moved. There's a game that has to get rescheduled and they don't know when. There's a team that dropped out. What's to say we're not going to see the same stuff like that in baseball or in basketball? What's to say we don't see the Brooklyn Nets, just to use the pile on them? They have more positive cases down there and there's three games left. They don't need to play, so they're out. And then, okay, well, then what about the playoffs? I think that we have to expect the unexpected, and it's going to be such a battle of attrition for these teams health-wise and pandemic-wise that whatever you can scrap out of the season, you just got to scrap out of the season. I do agree with Giannis. I think that this champion is almost more deserving of a champion than ever before, because there's going to be more obstacles than any champion's ever had to face. There's no asterisks because all these teams are going through the same thing together and whoever's out of it wins. But when you compare it to the other champions, if the Milwaukee Bucks win this year, they faced a hell of a lot more adversity than the Toronto Raptors did a season ago, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you think about, you know, they're sacrificing all this time away from their family. I mean, I saw yesterday some of their meals that they're going to get. Granted, it's better than what most of us get, but man, I don't know if I could live off of that stuff for 3 months.
What did you see they're getting?
I think it was like Troy Daniels or somebody who tweeted out, but it's like, you know, a little box of fruit. Everything's in like to-go containers. It's basically like, you know, your dollar morning menu from McDonald's.
Yeah. The MLS guy, again, I keep bringing up MLS, but they're already at Disney. One guy, as soon as he got there, tweeted out right away a picture of his meal. It was like a camp meal. It was a sandwich wrapped up, and I think there were sliced up banana slices, and then like a bag of chips, which, okay, fine. I mean, that's actually sounds like a good lunch for me today. But it is, you know, these guys are basically quarantined. Did you see Malika Andrews at all on ESPN this week?
Yeah.
What is she doing?
I don't know, man. I don't like her.
I don't either.
I try not to like hate reporters and stuff like that, but ever since that Giannis question where he just walked out, it just rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah, so Malika Andrews covers, she really started covering the Bulls with ESPN, but they suck, so she started to cover the Bucks. And so she would come up here and cover the Bucks. And the night that they got eliminated, she asked a question about Giannis's future. And he walked off, and that's now you have the gif of Middleton being like, what the hell? You know, what the hell? He walked off. She went to the bubble like last week, and if you've watched any of SportsCenter, they do hits from the bubble from her hotel room, and she's like, yeah, I've been here for a week. I don't leave my room. I do leave for testing, otherwise 8 o'clock and 12 and 5, I get a knock on my door that it's time to eat.
She's in her own room with a mask on, too, doing these hits.
I mean, okay, that's...
I mean, but like, in your own room?
Yeah, you're the only one in there. You probably don't need one. In fact, in your own room, I don't wear one in my house. I wear one in public. I don't wear one in my house. I don't know. It is weird. She went down there. It's good to get that angle. It's good to get that insight. but it is just funny. And I do wonder, though, what kind of free time these people are going to get, these players are going to get. They're not really allowed to go anywhere. They can congregate in each other's rooms, I suppose. They can go to other games. But really, I don't know what kind of activity they're going to be able to do. 414-799-1250. More on this. 414-799-1250. Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
I like the Grand Casino Tower at Coronado Springs. They have a nice little tapas place there, Toledo. Good restaurant. You know, I think that we'll have to be going to a lot. We'll have our break breads there, I'm sure. And, you know, we'll see how long Adam Silver can keep Robin and I from getting in the park.
Yeah, Brooke Lopez and Robin, big Disney fans. I think if the Bucks play on like a Monday at home and then they play on a Wednesday at home, somehow they still find a way to go to Disney on that Tuesday. And so it's almost like torture. These guys are told to go down to Disney, but then they're not supposed to go throughout, you know, those points of the park. It's kind of ironic, don't you think? A little too ironic? Yeah, I really do think. This Troy Daniels meal that you referenced, Sam, we got the picture up at 105.7 FM, The Fan. It looks okay. There's some cut watermelon in the salad, some Stacy's pita chips, a roll. I don't see, like, the main course, though.
Right. I mean, like I said, it's not terrible, but, you know, for an Orlando resort, especially owned by Disney, I would expect a little more.
Tavern Wisconsin Sports says that Bleacher Report first tweeted that out of Troy Daniels, and they left out the chicken and pasta. It was a good-looking meal, but Bleacher Report cut it out because it's Bleacher Report. I don't like Bleacher Report.
Neither do I. I used to, back when they first started. I don't know.
No, when they first started, they dogged me.
Really?
Yeah, I had a blog, and then they were aggregating my articles, and then I thought, you know what? I don't want to be with them. I want to do my own thing. So they took all my articles, and instead of removing them, they said, by Bleacher Report staff, and they kept up my work.
Yeah, they did that for our podcast, too.
They took your podcast?
Yeah, they featured it on the Bucks coverage for some reason, which is weird, because that week we didn't talk anything about Bucks.
Have you done a podcast lately?
No, we're going to try to do one on Sunday, if everything works out.
Sam, Evan, and Dan on The Fan?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I listen.
Thank you.
Clearly not enough to know that you haven't done one in a while, but when I see a tweet and I follow it.
There you go. I appreciate it.
I'll give you the old retweet at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Ram is on the north side. He dials us up, 799-1250. What's up, buddy?
Bart?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Ram.
I got a question to ask you.
Well, that's why I'm here.
About the bubble.
Yeah.
This is how I see what's happening with the bubble. I think it's going to be like an NCAA environment, you know, like you play each weekend, but the game's going to be a little bit more intense. And I think the team that got the best individual basketball players that can score on their own, defend on their own, are going to have the advantage.
So I'm guessing this is trending to lead not the Bucks.
Giannis is going to be balling.
Oh yeah.
But the question is, who else?
Well,
so
Chris Middleton is a star. Like, we established that yesterday.
Well, I'm just saying. Say for instance, like you think of players like say like a Westbrook or Eric Gordon. Those guys can just get off. They can get 30 any night by themselves. But we haven't seen that consistency with our players. Outside of Giannis, playing against competition. You understand what I'm saying? So a healthy Victor Oladipo is a problem.
Well, he's not playing.
Yeah. Well, that's what they say so far. You know, but I don't know if he's going to go down there or not. But of the teams that are left that are going, I think that's gonna be a concern. And then you're on the road. So it's almost like you're playing the pickup game at the Y, with you in the NBA, and then you're going into the playoffs, and you got to beat a team four times. I think the team, like I said, I think the team that have the core of individual players that are straight-up ballers, I think that they're going to have the advantage in both conferences, and that's what's going to make this interesting. So I don't think it has a lot to do with, like, how you finish in the regular season up to this point. I think now we're on another whole different level.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Bucks got a head start because of their record, but this is a completely different.
And they haven't played no basketball in 3 months. And
you know,
one thing I disagree with what you said. And
just one
player is this. Basketball is a harder sport because when you don't play, it takes maybe a week or 2 weeks just to get back in basketball shape. It may not even be the first game. So some of these first games are going to look kind of, you're going to see turnovers, people could jam their fingers, stuff like that. And then maybe going into after about the sixth game that they're playing, then you're going to start seeing the symmetry and the chemistry. And then they haven't ran a NBA court is bigger than college and high school. They haven't ran an NBA court. I mean, so, you know, practicing is one thing, you know, so that you add all that in together, that's what's going to make this so interesting. So I'm not going to put no asterisk next to nothing. You still being paid. You still got to come out and play.
I wonder if these guys had all been secretly, Ram, thanks for the call, like secretly getting together and playing. I don't know. Maybe it'd be at Pfizer. Maybe. I mean, that you'd probably detect that, but I don't know. We hear that, oh, Middleton hasn't had a hoop for 2 months or Giannis hasn't touched a basket. I don't know. Maybe these guys found a way to get together. I'm not sure. One thing that I don't want to do is try to, this is for my personal self. I don't want to, let's say the Bucks don't win the tournament. And you ask me like in 5 years, oh, what happened that year? I don't want to hang up on the fact that the season got postponed. Because this is going to be a completely, the Bucks, if they do win, they're going to have to win a completely different way. Ram's right about that. Than they would have won the other way. If they would have won the other way, they would have won like normal. But now it's like all that's out the window. It's the same sport, sure, same league, but it is a completely different way of trying to win things. Now you've got to manage health. You've got to manage the 3 months of rust. You've got to manage a completely different environment away from the court. You've got to try not to get the virus. The Bucks and Lakers and Clippers, one of those teams should still win the finals, but who knows? With all the unknown that we're about to find out, man, who knows? Tim is in Tulsa. What's up?
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Timmy.
I kind of got to disagree with almost everything that the caller just said, in that it seems like he was thinking that the Bucks are the only ones that are going to be in the away arena. The Bucks are the only ones that haven't played basketball in. I mean, nobody has. It's all, and I guarantee you guys have been keeping in shape.
Well, Chris Paul did play horse. Remember that.
I mean, it's like everybody's going to be at the same advantage or disadvantage, depending on how you look at it. Now, you look at a team, and you're right, and he's right, that it's going to be a different kind of atmosphere because it's going to be a quick, you know, it's going to be a sprint. But from top to bottom, the Bucks have the best team. Now, whether that plays out in the shortened arena, hard to say. But if you put them on paper, I'll stack them up with their bench depth against any team. Now, to say that, you know, it's going to go down to, like, the marquee player that is going to make the difference. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But you can't say that the Bucks don't stack up against anybody in the league. I mean, there's a reason they, lost 12 games.
53-12 right now, yeah.
Right? So you can't just discount that. Everybody has the reset button. Everybody hasn't been or maybe has been practicing to some degree. It's not like all of these guys have been sitting on their couch eating bonbons and watching soap operas. I mean, these guys are professionals. They're keeping in shape. They're doing their own basketball thing, whatever that may be. So I disagree with the calling that, you know, everybody's on the road. Everybody's on the road. Everybody isn't in basketball form. There's everyone, as far as I'm concerned, this is a equal start out of the gate. And I think the Bucks have as good of, if not better, shot like they would have had the regular season just played out. Thanks, fellas.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. And I wonder who it benefits. We're not going to know that. I wonder, who does this situation benefit? Does it benefit a team like the Bucks that's already pretty tight-knit? Does it benefit them because they are a good unit and these guys get along and they'll be able to bond more? Does it benefit, you know, some of these other? I don't know. And again, the whole reason they're doing the bubble is to keep COVID-19 out of there. But if it does get in there and guys contract it, they're going to be out a couple weeks, and that's going to be a huge determination into who wins this championship. Whoever does win it, they'll have obstacles again that none of these other champions have ever had to face. I mean, Jordan, yeah, he had bad pizza one night or whatever, but it wasn't like he was worried about contracting a virus that was a global pandemic. He wasn't worried about any of that. And no team ever has had to be worried about that in the NBA. So whoever wins it is certainly deserving of the championship. It's just that whoever wins this championship may not be the team that would have won it if none of this ever happened. And so that's going to be something that we'll watch and we'll follow with you, and we will have the coverage of each and every game. Our post-game shows for the basketball squad with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Baseball coming back. Tim Allen will be on hand for that as well. We'll hear more from these guys, Brewers and Bucks, throughout the show. Talk a little football with Sam Monson coming up. Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz on the... Winkler, Sam Schmitz. The Athletic has put out a survey of media folk ranking the arenas that they like covering games in and they don't. Pfizer Forum getting some negative marks. I like Pfizer Forum. I still feel like things are a little too tight in there. Do you have that feeling too? I just feel like things are a little tight. The whole it's just a little tight.
Yeah, my biggest gripe about the Bradley Center was when I sat up in the top level. You know, I'm 6'2", I'm slightly tall, but my legs would just be, my knees would like lose circulation because of the seats in front of me. And it's still kind of like that in that top bowl.
The Bradley Center, God rest her beautiful, stately soul.
Right.
But the thing I like better about Fiserv is if you're in the higher section at Fiserv, at least you feel like a contributing member of society. If you were in the 400s at the Bradley Center, they made you feel like you were just so lucky to even be there.
Right.
There was nothing to do. The seats were terrible. It was so steep. It was like, there's a fan merchant. Let's just put up a little booth and sell 5 t-shirts and a pennant. Oh, great. Oh, wow. This is some ball game, Dad. Thanks for taking me here. Fiserv, though, feels a little tight. And I don't know. I think maybe they could have held off 1 year on it and got everything right. I was in one of the clubs once at Fiserv underneath the stadiums, and it's like all this space with not a lot of people in there. And then you get out to the concourse, and it's a lot of people and not a lot of space. So I just feel generally tight. And then the thing, if you sit a little lower, there's the soda holders.
Oh, yeah.
So think of a soda can. Grip your hand like a soda can. That's how deep it needs to be. But Fiserv, it was like a little Petri dish. And you put it in there and it would not... Why would you even put that in there?
I was nervous to put a beer in there one time because I felt like it was going to tip over and spill on somebody.
I don't even know why. If that's what you're going to put in, why would you even put that in? I just found that sort of hilarious. But they fixed that, I believe. I don't know, because I don't know the next time I'll be in that building. Will be. NASCAR news, Jimmy Johnson is back. He couldn't race last weekend, but he has been cleared to race after 2 negative tests for the virus. I have been watching NASCAR. I'm not maybe as into it as I was a month ago because I'm really bad at FanDuel and DraftKings for it. The problem that I still have with NASCAR, I thought the stages were kind of dumb. I don't actually mind that at this point. What I don't like is, and this is, again, it's a FanDuel DraftKings thing, I could be winning a few dollars with like 10 laps to go, and then they all pit, and then the top 5, the guy who was winning is like 18th, he finishes. It's like all you have to do, make sure you're in that one, that same lap as everybody, and then at the end, whoever pits wins. That, again, this is a casual NASCAR fan describing how I'm watching the race. Sure, I know that you got to try to pit at the right time, and you take a risk with the weather and the tires and the engine, but it just seems like the race doesn't start until the last 10 laps, which can be very exciting. But if you want to talk about the NBA not starting until the fourth quarter, it really feels like a NASCAR race doesn't start until the last 10 laps. Drive around for 400 laps, hours, 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 and then, all right, let's race. That, to me, is what it feels like a little bit.
Because, I mean, what didn't that happen this past race?
Yeah.
Kevin Harvick, his tire, like, blew out or something?
Well, yeah, and then that happens, too. But sometimes it doesn't even take a crash. It's just these guys are rolling and going along, and then all of a sudden they pit. And then they take 19th, and they were just leading. But some of the races have been good. I actually find myself really watching the Xfinity races, like the minor leagues. That race at Indy was really good. I'll watch anything. Anything. I watched hot dog eating contest.
Weren't you watching cornhole too?
I watched some cornhole. There was a 65-year-old woman.
Right. Are you going to watch Fight Island, UFC?
Yeah, but the problem with UFC is I am getting into it.
Yeah.
But then I don't want to pay $60 for the pay-per-view. Yeah. So if ESPN's got the card, I'll watch it. I'm not ready to. I don't like it that much.
All right. I am enticed, though, by this Fight Island.
I'm enticed by Fight Island, too. I'll try to pirate a stream, but every time I do that, my TV, self-destructs. Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz. We'll talk some Packers next. The secondary for the Green Bay Packers, right? They've started hot the last couple of seasons, and then they kind of fade away. I still think that that's an area of the team that they need to improve upon. And Sam Monson of Pro Football Focus, when he takes a look at the whole league, there's one guy in that secondary he really thinks needs to step up. And it's a guy who is probably the most likely to be an all-pro guy in that secondary, but it's kind of a make-it-or-break-it year for him already. Talk to Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus, next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.